Okay, Ramban, Parshas Bahar B'Chukosais. And the Ramban begins, we have Vayadab Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor, and then talks about Shemitah. Hashem talks to Moshe in Har Sinai, and talks about Shemitah. So everyone knows, Ma'in Shemitah Leitz Har Sinai. What does this, what does Shemitah have to do specifically with it being said at Har Sinai? So there's a bit of a machlokas about Rashi, with Rashi and the Ramban, about the Medrash Rashi quotes about that. We'll just put that aside. But, as far as what's it doing here, why are we talking about Shemitah, what this has to do with Har Sinai? So, the Ramban says that there was a bris that happened at Har Sinai. And that bris, after the Egel Hazav, was broken. And they needed a new bris. And this is part of that new bris that happened when Moshe went up to Har Sinai the second time, time number two, to get the Luchos Shnios. So then we had this second bris, and we have then that second bris. Klal Yisrael has to accept it with more serious, not just like they didn't have when you do the first bris. We had the sprinkling the blood on Klal Yisrael, right? This is a second bris where it was the curses, the b'chukose part. That was the way the second bris was accepted, not with the carbon and whatever they did at Har Sinai. The first time, this was the second time, was B'alov Aklala, the curses of B'chukosai, that they accepted to keep the Torah with that, as you know, if they don't. And this is all said at Har Sinai. And Shemitah, Moshe simply never had a chance to tell them. So the Ramban always wants everything to be in order. So the Ramban is saying that when Moshe came down from Har Sinai, so he told them about building the Mishkan. And they go ahead and build the Mishkan. Moshe didn't want to interrupt them. Just go ahead and build the Mishkan. Once they're done building the Mishkan, then he told them about the Indian of Shemitah. So well, it wasn't just... They built the Beis HaMikdash, then there was the Karbonos, obviously, okay? Because the Karbonos connected to the Mishkan. So they build the Mishkan. Hashem tells them about how they need to do the Mishkan, all the Karbonos of Vayikra. Then we have at the end here Shemitah, because... Moshe simply didn't have a chance to tell them about it beforehand, and the bris is being nichras on these things, because Shemitah is from the Chamuros, obviously. So, and it had been mentioned originally in the first bris, Shemitah Tishmatena Natashta. So now, when we're having the second bris, we say Shemitah, and that's what the second part of the second bris. He also mentions what he says is a big yisod in the. He says, "Kof aznecha l'shmoa mashani rashi l'shmiacha." He said, "This is from the big sodos. It's an important thing that he wants to tell you, which is that the Shemitah, the concept of Shemitah, is similar to the concept of the 7 days of creation, and it's concept similar to the concept of the 7 days of existence, 7,000 years of existence. That is to say, every day of creation, something was created, and then there are 7 years, and then there's 7,000 years of existence. So they're all parallel." So, when we remember Shabbos, we're remembering that Hashem did all 7 days of creations, created everything and rested on the seventh. When we work 6 years in Eretz Yisrael and do not work the land the seventh year, we're remembering the same thing. And we're also remembering in both cases that there's a Yom Shekulo Shabbos, that the world exists for 6,000 years, and on the seventh, there'll be the Yemos HaMashiach. So the Ramban explains that's why, just like we take Shabbos very seriously, I mean, the Torah is very machmir about it, we're also very machmir about Shemitah, for the same reason that it's a remez, not just that Hashem created the world, but that there's a purpose to the whole existence. 6 days of creation represent the existence of the world, and the seventh is when Hashem will ultimately be running the world, and the world is as it's supposed to be. I guess more accurately, Hashem is always running the world, but it'll be open, clear that Hashem is the Melech HaOlam. That's in the 7,000th years. That's part of the Ikar Emuna about Olam Haba. So that's why it's so hum. Okay. Then we have in the Pasuk about Svichim. The Pasuk of in Pasuk A is Svich Ketzircha Lo Siktzor V'Sin Vein Zirecha Lo Sivtzor. So he explains the concept of Svichim. That's something that grew on its own. You didn't plant it in the Shemitah year, but rather it grew on its own. So something that grows on its own, Min HaTorah, the Ramban says, is not usher. You can eat it. You can't harvest it, but you can eat it. Min HaTorah. And just interesting, he mentions the reason why Inve is grapes, but Inve Nizirech, why is it called Nizirus? Because you're not supposed to harvest it. Just like another, you're not supposed to touch wine. Not that the grapes are also here, but you're not supposed to, you're supposed to put it aside. Anyway, the point is that Minatara and Svichim, things that grow on their own, are just as mutter as any other Shemitah fruit. But you're not supposed to harvest them, but they're not usher. However, midrabbana, they are usher. Something that grows on its own, is called Svichim, and that's an issue to Rabbanan, that the Chazal made exera. People are gonna just eat all their stuff, harvest their fields, and they're gonna say, everything's Svichim. Everything's from, grew on its own. I didn't plant it, it grew on its own. So they made exera about things that grew on their own, midrabbana, and you can't eat it. And the Ramban clarifies that we weren't talking about Svichim, that midrabbanan you're not allowed to eat. Again, we're talking about, Svichim are things that were not planted during the seventh year. They just grew on their own. So midrabbanan you can't eat those, lest you come to plant them and say, oh, it's just Svichim. So they made an issur drabbanan on all Svichim. That's only if it grew on its own in the seventh year. But if it grew during the sixth year and just was still stuck in the ground come the seventh year, so then, and then you take it in the seventh year. So he says, say this clear. They were planted on purpose in the sixth year. And then they were just in the ground in the seventh year and you plucked them on during the seventh year. He says that's, has Kedusha's pair, Kedusha Shvias, because, for Yerakos, we go with, for vegetables, we go with Shas Lakita when you pull it out of the ground. So if you pull it out of the ground during Shemitah, so then it has full Dine Shemitah. If Svichim are things that grew on their own during Shemitah, things that you planted, vegetables that you planted, are what you're not allowed to do, and that has, of course, that's Shemitah. And then the stuff that grew the previous year that you pluck this year, so you didn't do anything wrong, but it has full Kedusha Shemitah. But it's not Svichim. You're allowed to eat it. And it just adds that the Rambam paskins, and he agrees, that Svichim are only things that are normal to plant. Anything not normal to plant has no Isser Svichim. Okay, and then he has like a few other halachos. Shemitah, we don't have to go into all the details about whether you did it on, if you violated it, and you did plant it on Shabbos, is the fruit. If you did harvest it, rather. You did protect it. You're not allowed to guard your field and nobody can come and take the food. But if you did, that's a discussion. Or if you plowed your field, there is the fruit. Anyway, if you want to see all the halachos, Shemitah, we don't have to go into every last detail here. But let's go into one more thing, which is on the next passing, and that's about beer. That it says, Lemdachav l'chaya sherber atzecha. That it's the fruit of your field, there'll be, of Shemitah, there'll be for the behemah, that as soon as the fruit stops growing in the field, that your behemah can't eat it, then you have to do this thing called beer. What is that? So, the Rabban explains, it does not mean that you have to get rid of it, meaning if you have Shemitah fruit at home. Shemitah fruit in general, again, were things that grew, let's say they're on a tree. That's certainly not Svichim. Svichim is, that we were talking about again, Svichim is stuff that grows in the ground. But fruit that grew on a tree, an apple you picked, or something where there's no Xero Svichim, or like we said before, it was planted the year before and it's still in the ground and you plucked it out now. So that has Kedusha Shemitah, so you have to eat it. But after it's no longer growing in the field, so then you have to get rid of it. You have to do beer. What does that mean? You have to get rid of it. Do you have to burn it? So the Ramban emphatically states no. You do not need to get rid of it in the sense you don't have to like burn it. What you have to do is take it out of your house, tell everybody it's Hefker, and then you bring it back in the house. That's the beer of Shemitah. So now the Ramban also quotes the Rambam who says, no, beer means what it sounds like. That after it's not available in the field, you and the time of beer comes, you have to get rid of them, destroy them. So Rabban says, no, it's not true. You don't have to destroy them. You just have to be mafkir them. Then you can bring them back in. However, he agrees that if someone didn't do beer, if they didn't go through that act of being mafkir them, then they become something you're not allowed to eat. which of course very relevant today, because there are some not from people who unfortunately don't keep Shemitah. And even if you can buy produce, you know, you can eat produce that's made, can eat produce made during Shemitah, you just have to give it Kedusha Shemitah, except after Zman Bir comes, after this time where it's not available in the fields anymore for the animals, so that's when it has to be gotten rid of. So if the owner, if the farmer in Israel, if they are unfortunately not from, and then they don't do beer, then the food becomes something you can't eat. So that's where this is relevant. Okay, then we have the concept of Yovel. Why is it called Yovel? Rashi says, I'll shame the tekiah, because they blow the shofar during Yovel. So that's why it's called Yovel, that's that lashon of tekiah. The Ramban says he thinks Yovel is the freedom. It's called Yovel, like freedom. Because everyone is Yovilu, means like to bring. They'll go back to their freedom, to their lands, to everything goes back to the owners, everybody goes back, it's the freedom, that's why it's called Yovel. Okay, then we have the Din of Ona, which says, cheat someone else, meaning to charge them the wrong amount for what the value is. So Chazal tell us, the Ramban brings, that there's no Ona by Karka. There's only an Ona when you sell metaltalin. If you sell non-land, you sell a desk or whatever, so then there is Ona if you over, whatever the market value is, if you overcharge more than the value, so that's ripping the guy off. I'm going to say, well, it's just a simple understanding of it where the person doesn't realize they're being ripped off. Not that you told the guy, I am ripping you off. Let's just say you charge more than the amount. So you ripped them off. So up to a sixth of the value, that we assume the person's mochel. More than a sixth of the value, we assume the person is not mochel. And you have to return the extra amount. And more than, it's a sixth. More than a sixth, the whole sale is canceled. Because it's considered a mekachtos. That does not apply by land. Why? Because by land, people are okay with, you know, their mochel being charged too much for whatever reason. By land, it doesn't, people don't think of it that way. That's what the Ramban says, which means that, which the Ramban is clear that there's a lav, the Ramban says is the point. The Ramban says that there is a lav to rip someone off even by land. If you overcharge for land, if the market value of this land is $100,000, you charge $105,000. That's not the market value, that's more. And the person doesn't realize you're ripping them off. Let's just take it the simple way. So that's Ona, and it's a lav. It's just, when we say Ein Ona l'karkos, that the Ona does not apply to land, that doesn't mean that it's mutter. It means that the person's assumed to be mochel even past the sixth. But it doesn't mean it's mutter. You're never allowed to try to rip someone off. So that's not mutter, it's just there's no invalidation of the sale, no mekachtos, and the money doesn't go back. Okay, then we have the dinim of selling your house. So if a person sells his house in a walled city, so then they have a year to get it back, to redeem it. After a year, they can never redeem it forever. If they have a field, so then they have 2 years that they can't redeem it. After that, they can, up to 50 years, up to the Yovel rather, and then after the Yovel, it automatically goes back to them. So the Ramban explains the reason why when a person sells their house, they have a year to redeem it. That's because it's very painful for a person to sell their house, especially because they can't afford it. So if they get the money, they could buy it back. But after a year, then they moved somewhere else, they're already over it. It's an interesting concept, therefore we don't let them buy it back. However, a field that's a person's parnassus, and then we want them to be able to buy it back. So that's why they don't have that cut off by a field. Ramban also mentions that when someone was selling a field, the minig was that they would sell it to their relatives. And that relative would have kedima, like a dinin de bar mitzvah kind of concept. That if they, you know, the person has a field to sell and there are 20 people want to buy it, so their yarshim have kedima to buy it. And that was called geula, like we know from, right, it says, k'nelecha, he quotes the pasuk in Yirmiyah, k'nelecha, sadiya, yasher, banasos, k'lecha, mishpata, geula, liknos. That was called geula. When a relative bought it off you, That was called Geula. And that's called Geula because that means now, the whole point is that the Yerusha that you got from your father, right, is supposed to stay in the family. So now at least it's staying in the family. That's why it was called Geula. And that's why they had Kedima. Okay, then we have the Isser of lending ribbis. Neshech and Tarbis. So Chazal tell us that that's the same thing. But the Ramban says the Pashup Shad is that Neshech is ongoing ribbis and Tarbis is a one-time ribbis. So Neshech would be every month, you know, you could borrow $1,000 for 10 years and every month you pay me interest, that's Neshech. Like a bite because it keeps growing, growing, growing like a snake. And Tarbis would be where, you know, you borrow $1,000 and pay me back in a year $1,005. One-time ribbis, that would be tarbis. And he says that would explain why he would say, kaspecha lositein b'neshech or barbis lositein achlecha. A kesef is given like ribbis with like ongoing interest. And food, if I'm like, you know, taking your food and paying you back later, so I'll just give you back later, you know, more food. Not ongoing food, that would fit more with food. Okay, Bechazal said it's the same. Halachically, it's not different. They're the same law. It's two different lavim, it's the same thing. Okay, moving on to Bechukosai, so it starts off with the brachos, and it starts at v'nasati gishmeichem b'itim, there'll be rain. It's like the main bracha, that's what the Ramban says. If it's rain and things are growing well, everybody will be healthy. That's what you need. You need the rains to come, then things grow well, and the air is good, and everybody lives well. And then v'nasati shalom ba'arat, shalom means amongst yourselves. Isn't that interesting? I will make there be peace amongst yourselves. That there'll be no civil war or anything. Just fascinating to me that that's like, if you do the mitzvos, then I'll make it that there's no shalom amongst you. As if, I mean, that's a mitzvah in itself, isn't it? Isn't that part of following mitzvahs? You shouldn't be waging war against your brother. But who knows? You know, maybe sometimes both people think they're doing the right thing. This can happen. Each one thinks that they're right, you know, so they're all thinking they're doing L'shem Shemayim. Anyway, Hashem's going to make it. There'll be no, there'll be shalom amongst all of you. And there won't be any wild animals running around. It'll be, so this is Machlokas Tanayim, what that means. There'll be no animals running around. Rebuta's of the opinion that there won't be them. Whatever lions and tigers and bears are just going to disappear. Rebbe Shimon says, no, they'll be there. They're just not going to bother anybody. So that, now you're already talking about a different world that we're not used to living in. And that's, we know the descriptions that are supposed to be of the times of Mashiach, that, you know, Gar Zaev and Kevis. That the wolf and the sheep can live side by side. So the Ramban describes that this is the way the world actually was. The animals were originally not created carnivorous. It was really just the chait of Adam Rishon that caused them to turn that. The world went south. They brought down the Teva with them, and that's what happened. So then the world went down several levels, and the animals became like that. But when the world returns to its tikkun, the animals will go back to their original nature, which is to not be attacking one another or attacking humans. And that's the way it was sometimes with great tzaddikim. We knew that there was, Rabban quotes it too, that person who could put his foot next to the snake's den, and the snake would bite him, and the snake would die. Because as it says, "Ein arod memes ela avon memes." So if your person's holy enough, then it's actually this. They were there, it's a real miracle, because the snake attacked, and yet the snake died, because it was the sin that killed the snake. But the point is, when the world gets to its original teva, so then there's nothing to be feared from animals. Anyway, but the Ramban goes on this a little bit longer, this concept of the world in its perfect state, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, and this is a pretty famous Ramban, actually, about going to doctors. So he says, when the world's in its perfect state, you don't need to go to doctors. Nothing wrong will happen to anybody. Everything will be naturally fine for them. And if something goes wrong, so there's the individual and there's the klal. So this Bechukosai is talking about the klal. If the Jewish people are in generally doing the right thing and they're on the super high level, then they'll have all bracha and nothing bad will happen to them. And it could be for individuals too. It could be if an individual's on a super high level, so nothing bad's going to happen to them. And in all those cases, Teva is not sholeit on Klal Yisrael. It's either if the individual is super holy, or if the Klal is super holy, so then Teva has nothing to do with them. They're not part of the regular running of the world. And they won't get sick. and they don't need to take medicine. If they got sick, they wouldn't need to take medicine. If they got sick, it would mean they did some aveira. And what do? They go daven and do tshuva and whatever, and then they're healed. They don't need to go to a doctor. So he famously says, that's the chazal that says, rapoi rapay mikan shenit nereshus, the rofi the rapos. That the rapoi rapay says, shows you that a rofi has a right to do refua. So he says, it doesn't mean that the chola should go to the doctor. It means, if the chola comes to the doctor, so now the chola has decided he doesn't want to live, he's not on a high level, doesn't want to be on a high level, and he's going to go to doctors, so then you're allowed to heal him, because that's how he's lowered himself. Okay, so that's the way it's going to be for him. But there are always special people, not you or I, who are on a totally, completely different level, who are Davik Tashem, super, and they don't need to go to doctors. They can just daven and assume that whatever they're sick with will go away. So that's like he says, "Bertos Hashem darchish ein lo esek parofim." That's the line. If Hashem likes the person, meaning he's very, very holy, so then he doesn't need to go to doctors. I think they said the Chafetz Chaim was like that he didn't go to doctors. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, it means someone on an incredibly high level. So then they're not part of teva, and they don't need to go to doctors. They can just daven. But regular people have to go to doctors, and therefore the doctor's allowed to heal them because they're part of teva. It's only very rare people are not part of teva. So yeah, find something similar in the Ramban and Parshas Vayera, who says that most people are nazav lemikra, right? And it says, when it says Avram, Hashem knew Avram, so it means that Avram was very davik to Hashem. So the Ramban there, it's in Parshas Vayera, says that most people are part of teva, are under teva, which is the way Hashem runs the world. There are certain people that Hashem is Yodea, is very connected to. They're not really so much part of teva, and it's people like that don't need to go to doctors. And Klal Yisrael as a whole can reach that level too. If the whole Klal Yisrael reaches that level, then all these brachas apply to them. That there'll be no sicknesses, no nothing. Everything will just be wonderful. And if someone did an aveira, they would just go to the Navi and it would go away. Or they would do tshuva, whatever. That's on a very high level. But that's the way it's supposed to be. And the Ramban says that Klal Yisrael never actually reached this level. But it's supposed to be that way when Mashiach comes. That's when the world reads its tikkun. Okay, then in the Kolos it says, in b'chukosai timasu, if you are disgusted by mechukim, it says that goes together. Chukim that you don't understand, that's the kind of thing that people get find disgusting. But there can be mishpatim that a Rasha is also disgusted by, and that is the ones that are bein adam lamakom, right? Even if they make sense, like be'ilas arayos or chilal Shabbos, so that's a mishpat, it's not a chok. At least many of the arayos are mishpat. Right, the Ramban told us that many of the arayos are not a mishpat. But anyway, there are arayos that are a mishpat. There's Chilul Shabbos, which we can understand. It's been called out a chok. Anyway, so those are Russia does not want to do. So on that it says, V'imis mishpatai tegal nafshechem. A person can also be disgusted by mishpat. Okay, then the Ramban says his also famous line in Pasuk Tazayin that the Klalos said in Parshas Bechuk, right, Klalos are mentioned in Bechukosai, and it's also in Kisavo, and the Ramban says the Klalos that are mentioned in our Parsha are referring to Bayis Rishon, and the Klalos mentioned in Kisavo are referring to Bayis Sheni, that's his Yisod. That's why you see all this talk about, in the first one in Bechukosai, all this talk about Avodah Zarah, because that was the issue. And the Oz Tirtzah Aretz is Shapsa Seh Kol Yemei Hashama, because in Bayis Rishon they didn't keep Shemitah, that was the years of their Golus. All has to do with Bayis Rishon, B'chukosai. And also when they have Gula, don't say Hashem will forgive them completely, just that he's going to save them. And doesn't mention that Hashem will be Osef Esnid Chayim, right? Because only a few people came back up to Eretz Yisrael, right? It was Ezra and all those, but not everybody. And it was Yehuda and Binyamin only. And they came out poor, and they were under King of Pras, so it wasn't as amazing as it will be after the Golus Sheni, after Edom's over. So again, in Kisavo, when we're talking about a Geula from our current Golus, so then it talks about Tshuva and full Geula and everybody coming, because that's the ultimate Geula. And the Lashon over there also says, Vayam lo tishma b'kol ha'sham l'kech l'shmer l'asos es kolon m'chukosav b'chukosav. If you don't keep everything. Why? Because that's the thing. Like, the Bayis Rishon had a lot of Averis, you know, Gliraish, Shrichos Dam, Avodah Zarah. Bayis Sheni, they couldn't figure out what the problem was. They said, okay, it's Sinas Chinam. But they were keeping, you know, all the other stuff. So, that's that Lashon of the Pasuk. And also, in Kisavo, it talks about, Yisa Hashem Malakecha Goy Mirachuk, a nation far away, Babel's not far away, Rome is plenty far away, Italy was far. And they didn't speak their language because they were so far away, like it says. And then it says, Hashem will return you in boats. That also happened in the time of Rome. So anyway, all that points to Bayis Sheni and Rome. And the Geula is a full Geula. And it says, Ve'itivcha ve'hir b'chal me'avosecha. Things will be even better than they used to be, than further avos. And Rosan, Hashem l'kechaz kalalosa ila alivecha v'alsanecha sherit afucha. So you're talking about a total destruction of the Goyim that we're waiting for when Mashiach comes. And then, the destruction of our enemies. And he says, this is, what you'll find in Kisavo, and again in Nitzavim, you'll find, a better description of the ultimate Geula than you'll find in what Daniel wrote. You know, Daniel has, describes the future. But he said, you'll find a better description of the times of, you know, the ultimate Geula in Kisavo and thereabouts. And he says one other thing, that which it says here, Shamo Aleha Oyvechem, he says it's a Basura Tova. This is, you know, kind of famous. It's also the Ramban here. It's a Basura Tova that whenever we get kicked out of Eretz Yisrael, whichever guy takes over, the land never does well. It's only when the Yidden are living there that the land flourishes. Otherwise it doesn't do well. He says that's always been the case, and it still is. One other important point here is we've been talking about Bayis Rishon in our Parsha. It says, I'll remember, you know, when they do a little bit, they feel bad. As you kind of and I'll remember Brisi, Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avram. And, so that's all good. But the first, it had two times them doing tshuva, right? It says, and Asharim Mehem Yimaku, Isvados Avonam, Mesavon Avosam. And then I will go, that they walk with me Bekeri, and I'll go with them Bekeri. I'll bring them Beretzoy Veim, Oazikana, then they have to have more tshuva. So he says, Ramban says that this, right, it's obvious a question, why if they did tshuva and is they were, their hearts were subjugated, why Hashem, send them, not help them out? So the Ramban explains because it wasn't, full, and so that hinted to when they would go back to Eretz Yisrael, and it wouldn't exactly go well. So when it says Eretz Oyveim, it just means they didn't capture it yet. They were brought, Ezra went up, and it was not simple. So that's what the Ramban says referring to. They'll be Az Yikanal of Avam Ha'arel. They'll have a Geula. They'll go up to Eretz Yisrael. It's just Afan Yelechem Bikari, meaning it's not going to go well in Israel. Like, they're going to have a rough time until Hashem, they have more hachna than Hashem remembers Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and things they're able to conquer the land. Okay, there's other stuff to say here, but to not make this go on too long, we'll just skip to the end here in Pasuk Chavtes. You have another famous line about Chayrim. So it says, Kol Chayrim Asher Yiracha Min Adam La Yipadeh Mos Yumas. What does that refer to? So Rashi says what he says, but Ramban says, it says, anytime, this is the bottom line, what he says is, anytime the king or the Beis Din B'maimed Kal Yisrael tells everybody that they can't do something b'neder. So that's like considered chayrim. And that's punishable by death. If a person does not follow, when the king says that everyone is not allowed to do this tomorrow, like a neder, so if it's a public neder, it's like a chayrim. Or if the Beis Din with B'maimed Anshei Yisrael makes a chayrim on something, they say like it's type of neder, a shvua, whatever. One is not allowed to do such and such, like as a shvua, and it's done publicly, so then it becomes a cherem, and someone who doesn't keep that shvua, even though not keeping a shvua is not a death sentence, these are. If the king says it, or if the Beis Din B'maimed Kol Yisrael says it, they take this type of shvua for the public, and someone violates it, it's death. So that's why when they made this cherem on people to attack a nation, and they didn't, to attack a city, and they didn't come, that was a cherem. Or Yonasan, who didn't follow Shaul's cherem, he was gonna die, if not that it was a shogeg. So you see in Tanakh many times people get killed for violating a cherim. That's why it comes from this pasuk. Kal cherim asher yachar min adam lo yipadem mos yumas. And he says that was the mistake of Yiftach. Yiftach thought when he made a neder to give whatever came out of his house as a sacrifice, and then his daughter walked out, so he thought that that was a cherim and he has to kill her, which, according to the Ramban, he did. She was offered as a sacrifice, according to the Ramban. He says the Ibn Ezra that just says, no, she wasn't offered as a sacrifice, it meant she lived a hermetic life and all by herself, davening all day, and never got married. See, the Ramban says that's ridiculous. That's not why they were all upset. He actually had her killed, because he thought that was a cherim, and it was a mistake. It wasn't a cherim. It was just a personal neder. So he was wrong. But a cherim is a death sentence, and it comes from me. Okay, that's it.